tonight with the amazing and, well, there's only one, William Tompkins. And do click on his name and guests, and please look at his book and buy his book. Because a lot of the things we talk about are in that book, Chosen by Extraterrestrials. And how's the book doing, Bill?
It's a 5-star and is doing very good.
Good. Good.
I think that I'd like, if we had a minute or so, I'd like to talk about one drawing that's in the book.
Okay. And then I want to talk about, if I can, we should talk, go back to World War II when you were involving yourself in the debriefing with Admiral Botta. Turkey, right? Underground bases in Turkey that the Germans were using,
yes,
to create their discs out of range of American,
yes,
bombers, and Dr. Debus as well. I think you had some more you wanted to talk about him. So go ahead. What
okay.
drawing is this?
Okay, it's a drawing that shows a 17-kilometer-long space transport.
Right.
And the reason I'm bringing this up is because for whatever reason, we had, in that secret think tank, we had 200 people in there. The majority of them had their PhDs, and then we had the design group, which I was sort of in. And we were essentially asking ourselves millions of questions. And so it had come up that essentially, like you've been saying, Jeff, it wasn't, we weren't going to be allowed to release this information to the public,
mm-hmm,
to the extraterrestrial.
Right.
And so there were many different scenarios that we were asking ourselves, which then became separate studies. And one of the big questions was, what percent of the known universe that we had at that time, that, like, this is, we're talking 1953, 54.
Right.
Inside the secret think tank, Douglas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we're asking ourselves, which, well, first of all, how many different extraterrestrial civilization people are we dealing with? And we had several of them. And then, because we had already been in this scenario where people were being abducted, and so we had information in a rough way, not detail, but something to the order of possibly 53 different types of extraterrestrial people could be here. And it's possible that some of these would have been the same ones, but somehow they turned out to be different, or we thought they were different. Like we found later on, there was almost 100 different type of humanoid type, all the way from small gray types to 11 and 12 foot grays.
In other words, arms and legs and heads and torsos. Yeah.
Yeah, right. And so then you had all these others. You know, you had octopus, and you had insect type.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing got to be, you know, crazy. So what you're doing then in these studies is you're trying to define in your own minds, okay, what are they after? Why are they here? What's their agenda? Have they been here before? Have we had a misunderstanding of the history of the planet? Could these people have been here in some of the documents in religion, even the Bible?
And this is going on in the mid-50s in Douglas aircraft.
in a secret think tank in Douglas.
Yeah.
And so we had nobody telling us we can't look at this or look at that.
Got it.
We were doing it.
No oversight. And you were left on your own to do what you felt was worthy. That's fascinating.
And, of course, that same thing, many of the people took off from there when TRW formed, and that's what TRW did, the same thing with much more. Okay. But back to Douglas. We started to ask ourselves, how many solar systems were there? How many planets could be in our solar system? And of course, we had the astronomers up at Mount Wilson and the guys that we can talk to at Caltech, and we got all their latest numbers. And so we then started acting like astronomers. We said, okay, we could accept that we would have a certain number of stars in the galaxy.
Right.
And then we came up with the suppositions that, okay, we look at the solar system then around our sun, our star, and we got these planets, and we made the assumption that other stars would have maybe less planets or maybe more planets. And other stars might not be the same size.
Mm-hmm.
Other stars might be 10 times the size of our star. And then somebody came up with, oh my gosh, one of the astronomers was saying that this particular star system actually was, my gosh, it could have been 100 times the size of our star. Oh my goodness, what does this mean?
Talk about so stretching your brain. Wow, that's...
Yeah, and so then how many types of animals would they have? Would they have in their oceans fish?
Mm-hmm.
Would they have in their oceans different types of intelligence? Could they have developed to the point that they had extremely intelligent people? What were the numbers? And all this stuff is being studied, and nobody is believing that we can do this inside of an aircraft company, which then turns out to be a massive facility all over the country, all over the planet, which is what came out of that secret think tank. And so you look at these potentials, and then you start to look at what the numbers could be of extremely advanced people. Could they be to the ability to where they could think things and get them done?
Mm-hmm.
Not build it, think it. And so, like I said in that book, drawing of a 17-kilometer-long, not spacecraft carrier.
Right.
It's a space transport. Now, why did that get designed? Let's back way off, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's back way, way off. Some of those people in the secret think tank inside of Douglas were convinced that this planet could have been being controlled by certain extraterrestrials that may not have been as nice as we would like. And essentially, they could have been initiating systems through mind control for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
And then they came up with the geology of the planet. And this is where I've talked a little bit about my cousin Walter Hamden, Dr. Walter Hamden, the astronomer, astrophysicist. I talk about him in the book there a little bit. And what his opinions are. And then he becomes a consultant to TRW Systems, which is now, later on, doing the same thing that we were asking all the questions in the Zeke thing, Drake and Douglas. And so where this got to, still in the secret think tank, but then studied extensively at TRW, was that geologically, the planet is not a stable planet. And that at some point, we do have very serious floods. We have earthquakes,
right,
and we need to prepare for
massive geological upheavals from time to time. Understood. Yeah.
Understood. So, if that's what we have on this planet, has that been fixed by these other people who are more advanced than we are? Then, how many stars out there would have planets that didn't have this problem? Oh my goodness. How many stars out there had maybe much larger stars, many, many more planets in the star, and that they didn't have geological problems because they fixed this? So, oh my goodness. Inside that secret think tank, okay? The question was, could we simply build large transports, leave this planet, go out into the galaxy, along with some of the Nordics who already know where these good stars, planets are, and move out there? Wow. Can you say, Bill, you're smoking pot again? No, all I'm trying to say is, we were addressing the real problems then, and we came up with a lot of different kinds of answers. And not to say that this planet can't be partially fixed, because maybe we made the problems, or somebody else made the problems themselves, and maybe we can fix it. But the alternative became almost real, that if the extraterrestrials who have been running the planet want to continue running, keeping everybody there out of the knowledge of what's going on, give it to them. Build 17-kilometer-long space transports and leave. Let them have it. And, I'm saying these were serious programs in the 50s.
That's amazing. And really, that's the same time. It's the same time my father was at Douglas Aircraft as a public relations director for the corporation. He was there. I don't think he was privy to what you were doing, though. That's amazing.
Well, even Bob was not privy to it.
That's just extraordinary.
He was engineer in such a feat, too. All I'm trying to say is that we don't have to accept what we've been told. We need to have the information, be allowed to use it, and make it public, because we have all kinds of opportunities. We're not even trying.
Bill, let me ask you a philosophical question. Knowing what you know and having lived the life that you have lived and are living, and your wisdom base is enormous compared to the average person on this planet, they'll never even imagine what you know. When you look around and see the direction that this culture, this society of ours is being taken being dumbed down, being diverted with smartphones and drugs and silliness, and how the morals have been so degraded, and the family has been destroyed as a unit, a functional building block of our society. What do you think about the future? It's all being done intentionally. And what do you think about what we are being literally taken into third world status? That's the plan, as I see it. Homogenized, yes. Third world status.
Yes, I agree with you 100%. You're right. And that needs to be turned around. It needs to
yes,
stop.
Yes, it does.
And it's no joke. It is not a joke. This is what's happening. And we've also not controlled the drugs which they've given us.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
And now in the schools, the students are not just not being taught about history, but it's okay to have the drugs. And we're to the point that 50%
yeah.
of the students coming out of high school now have been on drugs and are continuing the drugs as they get out into industry.
Oh, of course. They have created an addictive society, and that's
totally
what we are.
Society.
Now,
drugs
are not just chemical things that you ingest to alter your consciousness. They are smartphones. They are media. They are technology. They're all kinds of things. It can call, in my world, would be called a drug. Anything that is habituating or addicting or takes you away from being proactive and creative in your approach toward life is a drug. We have such a higher calling that we're not allowed to pursue. They're just, the controllers don't want that now. And it does have to be turned around. And there's about a 50% dropout rate in high school now, Bill. And history has been sanitized and reduced to almost a cartoon of what it really was. People don't know. But let's not waste a lot of time on that. We have other important things to talk about. I just wanted to see how you felt about that. Are you optimistic? I don't know how you can be, given the current form of alleged government that we have. The control of this planet is nothing but greed. It's evil. It's not enlightened. And if we are in bed with extraterrestrial visitors, we're in bed with the wrong ones.
Unfortunately, everything you've said is correct, and we need to change that. And the only way it's going to be changed is if we can get disclosure. We need to get this out, get people turned around, and get them to understand what's
right.
taking place.
Well,
we can't have every one of these people at the top level taken into jail. Are put in jail, we have to realize that some of them are being, most of them are being controlled by extraterrestrials.
Uh-huh.
And so some of the things that our top people are doing is criminal.
They may not even know who's controlling them. They're just, that's who they are. And remote influencing PK, as you mentioned earlier, being able to do research without using your hands, it just, you can make it happen mentally. Yeah, there's so much out there that I think if there was full disclosure and the human race were to be confronted with the reality that we're not alone, I don't think anybody would really become too upset. And I think it might be the only thing that can turn this around. It would now make people look up and understand that we aren't alone, that we have other things we can do. We're not doomed to play with our smartphones for the rest of our lives. There's a whole nother universe out there of people, of experience, of beings. So, yeah, that would be a good thing. And to that end, I always believed that disclosure was a sad necessity, and sad in the sense that we shouldn't have to do it. It's our right to know these things, but the controllers, they don't want that to happen.
Just a little bit on that. About 3 or 4 months ago, there was a virus that got into the schools here in the San Diego area and in La Jolla area. And so all the kids got sick and all the teachers got sick. So they closed the school. And This was in the papers. And they cleaned the school. They scrubbed the windows and everything, and they cleaned the floors, and the kids went back to school, and they all got sick again. So they cleaned it more. They closed the school, they cleaned it more. And they came back and the third time, and they all got sick the third time. And so I got the same symptoms that the children got, which is a virus. And this is an extraterrestrial virus, and which nobody's going to admit that's what it is. So they cover it up.
Yeah.
So in my particular case, I went to my doctor because I was sick with the virus. And I'm a little bit different in that I have a relationship with the doctor, which is with Scripps here in San Diego, Gloria.
Right.
And so he puts me in emergency at the hospital. I go in and I register an emergency. And I sat there in the waiting area for 2 hours because of all of the stuff that was coming in with the ambulances. So I actually spent the entire day there. I went in at 9 o'clock in the morning and I got out at 5. And it's interesting that while I'm being checked, every physical check, it was great. I got the best one you could get. Find out what's wrong with me.
Sure.
The number of people in that emergency who were walking with their cell phone that hit the lamppost or hit the door or hit their head
walking
while
in
they're
the
walking
Was
unbelievable.
There's
in
your
emergency.
That's a debilitating addiction by any measure. That's what physically you see.
I could not believe this.
Yeah, yeah.
And so talking to the doctors, talking to the nurses, this is normal, a normal day.
Yeah, wow.
So what you're saying about being controlled by machines, by electronics, by communications, wow, you're right.
Yeah. All right, now let us go back to World War II with the amazing German flying discs, which were real for those of you who are new to the program. Bill has talked about it at great length here. I've got pictures up on the website and so forth. What was going on in Turkey? Tell us about that.
Okay.
This would have been... Debus was running the program at Peenemünde and during the war. So he would have been involved with this.
Yeah, he was doing the V-2 bombers, or rockets. And he was doing the A-1s, the A-7s, the A-11, A-9, and A-11, which would be the size of an Apollo.
Those are intercontinental rockets.
Ballistic.
Yeah.
Intercontinental
ICBMs.
Ballistic missile.
Right.
Yes. And fortunately, they didn't get them developed, so but they were to have been dropped on every major city in the United States. But what you're talking about is not just in Turkey. It was in all most of the occupied countries around Germany. These are not underground. They're in mountain facilities.
Uh-huh.
You simply drive into it at
right.
a level,
right.
at the street level, okay? And they're massive. Absolutely massive facilities, primarily doing the research for the SS on constructing these 17 different types of extraterrestrial vehicles that the SS is going to use out in the galaxy. Wow. And so it isn't just a facility to make rockets, build rockets, but they're building UFOs in these Turkey facilities. Yes, Turkey had many of them, and they were doing both.
Huh.
But there were as many other facilities almost like it, where they had slaves... slave labor building sophisticated missiles and sophisticated space vehicles, UFOs, rectangular space vehicles, large, and most of that was removed and went to Antarctica before the war even ended.
Hmm.
And they didn't just take the machinery. They took the same slave labor down to caverns. They were given to massive caverns by the reptilians, and to have three unbelievably massive caverns in Antarctica. And so these facilities in Turkey were building manufacturing 20 millimeter cannons. They were manufacturing pistols and rifles, machine guns,
mm-hmm.
but they're also manufacturing UFOs.
And these are all underground facilities, huge. Yeah.
Enormous underground facilities.
There are, I just had word from Harry Cooper that another facility has been found, and it's gigantic. The Germans built so much underground, a lot of them people don't even know about. Most of them,
yes, that's true. And we're locating these later on. It's
mm-hmm.
amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Many years later. But it's all tied in with extraterrestrial type vehicles.
Right.
And propulsion systems, communication systems, operational, even the facilities they need for food and for sleeping facilities on board. It's not just the military. It's the personnel
right.
facilities also.
Now let me ask you a question, Bill, if I might. You mentioned propulsion systems. Now the SS had their own line, so to speak, of discs, UFOs, and there was another group that did. There were two separate lines of development. The propulsion systems, what were they? Did they share them? We have the image of Dukla, which Clark McClellan believes is what crashed in the 60s in Kecksburg, that the Soviets had and upgraded it, continued building it after the war. It landed there. Clark saw it. So we think that that was an internal power plant at one point, something like it, to propel these disks and these huge craft that were being made. What were you able to find out about the method of propulsion for these craft?
Okay, we have to go to a very pretty blonde girl.
Yes,
blonde,
yes.
Blonde, blue-eyed girl. Now, you know her name, and I think you ought to tell everybody what her name is. Okay. She was contacted by friendly extraterrestrials,
uh-huh.
and she was told to, I guess this was 1895, something, and she was told to get her girlfriends and some of the guys she knew and design and build spacecraft carriers. I'm sorry, spacecraft transports.
Okay. I see. She had to be being given some kind of telepathic guidance for this, I would think.
No question.
Now her name was, as we know, her name was Orsic, O-R-S-I-K, Maria Orsic, and you can look her up, O-R-S-I-C, and see, this is a kind of one of those timeless faces. And there's words to the effect that Aldebaran was involved, and She went to Aldebaran at war's end along with a lot of other people. But what Bill is telling you, we've been through before about how this group of women and others were given the information somehow to begin to construct these, we'll call them anti-gravity craft. Okay, go ahead, Bill.
Okay, they're anti-gravity craft, but they're actually transports.
Right.
Now, she was not... See, all this was done before the SS knew anything about the communications with the extraterrestrials.
Huh.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
And so she was operating, and it ended up... This is my 1,442 in the book. And it's in the book, all through the book. Okay? And it's referred to because so many top people got pulled in to her group that she started from, as you said, telepathic information were given to her by nice extraterrestrials. She wanted nothing to do with a German SS. She didn't want to have anything to do with her vehicles being militarized or even stopping her from doing what she was doing and taking it over. But of course, they found out about it and they took it over. But it ended up that there were 1,442 German people. Some of these people were shoe salesmen. Some of them were scientists. Some of them were engineers. Mm-hmm. Some of them were farmers. Many of them having no technical background at all, but all being supported by telepathic information to go do this. If the farmer got it, he hawked the farm to get the money to start putting together a propulsion or a vehicle or a communication system.
Hmm.
All these people were working together, independent of the German SS.
Now,
the
Maria
German
was...
SS,
Maria Orsic was the top of the totem pole. She was the leader and the guidance of it. She was the one.
The entire program.
Now, for our listeners, some of you may know the name Dr. Hermann Oberth, O-B-E-R-T-H. Dr. Oberth, we've talked about him many times. He was a rocket pioneer for Germany during the war, and after the war came here, and was one of the key players, along with Wernher von Braun, in NASA. NASA was a German production, and Dr. Kurt Diebus was the director of NASA for 13 years until the early 70s, and the Germans basically did everything that we are credited with doing as Americans. It was a German, World War II German scientists over here. Here's what Dr. Oberth said about the rocket brilliance and things that they were designing, not only in Germany during the war, but here for NASA. He said, this is a quote, "We cannot take credit for our record advancement in certain scientific fields alone. We have been helped." And they were at, and then someone asked him, "Who do you mean?" And he said, "The people of other worlds." Now, Dr. Oberth was not a quack. He would do nothing to tarnish his brilliant career except tell the truth, okay? Now, here's a quote from Dr. Wernher von Braun. "We find ourselves faced by powers which are far stronger than hitherto assumed and whose base is at present unknown to us. More I cannot say at present. We are now engaged in entering into closer contact with those powers, and within 6 or 9 months' time, it may be possible to speak with more precision on the matter." He said that 1959, but he died. Never was given permission. This would have been disclosure. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about disclosure. He wanted to do it. Probably a lot of people did, but they were stopped.
Yes, absolutely. That whole program, it's called Paperclip, and they brought over thousands and thousands.
9,000 minimum, 9,000.
Yeah, it's crazy. And like you said, Jeff, NASA was a few American engineers and scientists, but 90% of it was German.
That's right.
The entire program. And I don't think the public realizes this.
No, they never were. They weren't supposed to know, and they're not supposed to know now. But we've got pictures of Dr. Debus with John Kennedy. Kennedy knew, that the people at the top of government knew, but the public was never told. They wouldn't hear about it.
Yeah, and actually, when the truth comes out on why Kennedy got taken out, it's because he was going to essentially release the information.
Well, that's certainly part of the reasoning behind. There were a number of reasons why people would want him dead. That was certainly one of them. Yeah, and there was a congressman named Stephen Schiff from New Mexico who pushed the GAO, the General Accounting Office, for records showing and proving that there was ET contact here. And there were, I don't want to say treaties necessarily, but there were agreements and understandings and meetings, and it's believed by most people that Eisenhower met with them at least once, if not twice. And Congressman Schiff was not going to say, all right, you don't want to tell me? No problem. He wanted the truth. He went after the GAO, and he came down with a facial cancer that is normally extremely easily treated, and it ate up his body, and he died within months. So they took him out. They kill people all the time.
They took the Secretary of the Navy out for the same reason.
Yeah, Jeremy Borda, Chief of Naval Operations, he was murdered. That's another one. But Jay, you're talking about Forrestal.
Yeah.
He was another one that was murdered. There's so many. They, like I say, people are killed all the time to shut them up.
And if you read Admiral Riccobata's mission statement, it's direct, signed by Secretary of Navy Forrestal, who later became the first...
Secretary of Defense.
Yeah, Secretary of Defense.
Mm-hmm.
And they took the Secretary of Defense out.
Threw him out the window. Five, six stories up. Yeah.
And I think the level of trying to keep the whole subject quiet, this is ridiculous.
It's insulting, Bill. It's not only ridiculous, it's insulting. What they're doing is dumbing down the average human Homo sapien on the surface and working out of their underground cities and tunnels and bases and bunkers and their off-planet facilities. There's a whole parallel civilization going on here. And we're not to know. And they're making us even dumber. Our schools are designed to create idiots, and that's what they're doing. Now, if you want to succeed as a student, you really have to be a self-starter and a proactive thinker. You cannot sit back and say, well, I'm waiting. Where is it? No, it doesn't work that way. But that's what they're telling our young people, and they're giving them cartoon versions of history, cartoon versions of everything. If you're going into the sciences, that's a different story. But even in the sciences, there is tremendous pressure not to step out of line. Stay in formation. Don't go into areas you're not supposed to go into, or you'll pay some kind of a price. This goes into archaeology, people who understand that there was an ancient Earth, that we have been on this planet as a human species before multiple times and blown it for one reason or another, or maybe some have left the planet. Who knows? That's what Bill is involved with. The idea that we have off-planet technology that can take us all over the solar system here and possibly all over the galaxy.
We have it. We know what it is.
Yeah.
We know what free energy is. We don't need the gas companies putting that stuff in our tank.
They're keeping us at a primitive lifestyle here and doing it on purpose. So.
The reason I resigned from TRW Systems was the same thing. I was the guy that was director of intelligence and director of military security at TRW, told me that my system, which was a Joe Pat system of energy, was the 29th of 30 systems that had been developed since World War II, all of which would require no gasoline,
non-petroleum,
no electricity.
Right.
No electricity.
Not electric either. Wow. So you took Joe Papp's idea and developed it further. What did you? How do you? You mentioned Papp again. That's
okay,
interesting.
Okay. Actually, we spent 3 years studying with him.
And did you?
We actually designed every type of motor that you could come up with, from four-cylinder Crosley engines to 12-cylinder diesel-type ship engines, and actually railroad
locomotive engines. Uh-huh.
And every one of these worked. And we had set up, I think it was 14 or 15 different companies, which were to be subsidiaries of TRW, to manufacture all of these different systems.
Hmm.
And I didn't start it, but I later was program manager of that. All those systems at TRW. And this story is in the book too, where I come in Monday morning and my green sheets, which are around 30 feet long on all of the programs in my computer, was one page. So I asked my boss what happened, and he told me, "You got to go talk to the president." And so I pick up the phone and I call the presence of TRW, and I talk to his secretary. And strangely enough, she knew who I was. And so she gave me a time the next day, and I go in and talk to him, and he knows why I'm there, because he stopped all of my programs. And it turned out that the oil companies owned the 54% of TRW.
Hmm.
And so we were allowed to study and do anything, any subject, just like we did at the secret think tank inside of Douglas in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was competitive to
petroleum,
medical systems, not just petroleum, but the medical systems too, we can't do it. So all the programs were stopped.
So the whole paradigm of medical, power, energy, all controlled, and they had a determination where they wanted it to go, and as long as you didn't infringe on that, you were okay.
That's correct. And that was TRW Space Systems at One Space Park, Redondo Beach.
Wow.
Largest space think tank on the planet.
We could be in such a different world, Bill. It could be such a wonderful place. It just doesn't need to be this garbage heap that we're being led into creating, this wasteful, terrible system.
Yeah, terrible.
You know, it kind of makes you want to go to Aldebaran, doesn't it?
Yes, and I want to say just one other thing while we're on that part. Once again, they cured cancer at TRW in 67. Completely cured it. And absolutely, it was all stopped. Just like all of the Joe Papp engine propulsion systems at TRW, the program was stopped, period.
Hmm.
And so everybody's still getting cancer,
one out of two.
The hospitals and the medical is making big money, and my wife has had cancer twice, and she's had her breast removed, and she's gone through the whole program. And
she went through the traditional.
Oh, wait a minute.
Wow.
Yeah, and her husband is telling her that he worked on a system where at TRW that completely cured him.
Uh huh.
Now this is kind of hard for me to take. Okay.
Sure.
So it's right down to my family, my wife. Wow. She was getting the treatment, they put in another stuff, which, small part, that they were feeding her. And this was supposed to hopefully keep her from having it back within 8 years. And I guess it did, but it affected her feet, and so she can't walk. And her toes are all spread out like a fan, and neuropathy. And this was from the treatment material that she was given. I just have to say, and yet I know the whole thing has been fixed.
Sure,
so
it has.
Isn't something. This is not something that took place 200 years ago. This is really right now.
And, Bill, as you know, Royal Raymond Rife cured cancer and all microbial infective diseases in the 30s with electronic frequencies.
Yeah.
Each organism, each type of bacteria, each type of virus has its own signature personal vibrational frequency. If you can determine what that vibrational frequency is in hertz and broadcast it to the infected cells, all those viruses and bacteria will be killed without harming any other tissue. That's Royal Raymond Rife. That's just one.
Yeah. Okay. And once again, if at the secret think tank inside of Douglas, when we were doing all that crazy stuff, and then in 42, 43, and then over at TRW in 1976, okay, if the same thing gets stopped, you have to ask yourself a question. What's going on here? Wait a minute. This is real, people. I don't think our audience really realizes this is real. This is not BS. These people are doing it to us. It's got to stop.
I wonder what Maria Orsic would have to say about this if she were still here.
Yeah, I'd love to. She was a beautiful girl.
Well, you ran into a lot of beautiful girls who were probably off-planet in your inner workings with TRW and even Douglas.
Yes.
And I remember my dad saying how extraordinarily beautiful the secretaries were at Douglas. So they had that pretty well penetrated.
Yeah, they really did. And they were helping us. No kidding. I mean, they really were.
Sure.
That's not
baloney. You've made that very clear in earlier programs and in your book. It's quite a story. Another group was helping the Germans. So the Nordics, the tall blondes, generally good people. I've never heard anything bad about them.
And Orrick was one of those.
I just wonder why they're letting whoever is influencing the leader class, the elite class of the planet, with this darkness. I wonder why the good ETs, maybe there's some international, interplanetary, intergalactic treaty, or that they can't get involved directly. They can help, but they can't make changes. We're in trouble on this planet. We're in real serious trouble.
I'm so happy that you're releasing this, that you're saying it, that you're letting people hear about it. And we need that disclosure.
Well, there's just no question about it. Left to our own devices, we wouldn't be anywhere near the level of destruction and catastrophic events that have befallen us, we would have taken the higher road. There's something about the human species that has a lightness, a light in it. It knows the difference between good and evil, especially yes. Western civilization. And in a way, that's been its weakness. It's kind. Kindness is the word. We're kind, and that's why the West is now being attacked again. Kindness. It's like the rest of the planet doesn't really like kindness. It's weird. Bill, thank you. Anything you want to say in summation here? We got just about a minute.
Only that, please, listen to what Jeff is saying, all of you. And, gosh, even people like Dr. Michael,
Sala.
Read one of his books, because he's trying to tell you the truth. And this fellow has been investigating this subject for eons. We've got help, but you got to get exposed to it. And it's very important.
All right. Plan your next visit, Bill. We'll talk to you next month.
Okay, real good.
All right, my friend. Take care.
You too. Thank you very much for the program.
You're welcome, Bill. Good night. Okay, that's it for Monday. And I'll tell you, it is just, mark my words, every day there's going to be something big from now on. The Democrats, or demon rats as some people call them, they're not a political party. This is an engine of destruction. They'll throw things at Trump. You watch. And we can hope that Assange has things to release. There's only one choice here, and it's really a choice between war and peace. And that's the truth. 50% of the Russian people know that war is a distinct possibility. And I mean thermonuclear war. That's an extraordinary percentage. And they know which candidate is the war hawk. All right? We will be back tomorrow. Stay strapped in. It's going to be bumpy.